5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America.
One show at a time.
Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. It is your home for common sense conservative values. We tell you often on this program what we see when we drift up. We look down on the landscape and start to see all of the pieces of the puzzle come together. And we've seen since the very beginning the reality of January 6th. It is so disturbing to me on levels I'm not so sure I'm equipped to articulate. The degree to which bad people will do bad things to protect themselves and to stay in power. And if you come from the ideology that I do, where you look out for others, you live according to the golden rule, and you don't think it's a stretch to just be a good person, I think it's really very difficult to wrap your mind around how many people had to be participants in the January 6th High School Musical. Common sense conservative Americans aren't violent people, but we will defend ourselves. And to distort and molest, if you will, the real reason for January 6th is deeply offensive to all of us who know what happened, who know what's at stake, who see the aligning of these planets and know that what's coming in that solar system we don't want to be a part of. This story, though, about a 71-year-old great-grandmother. I'm going to describe her to you. I don't know her. I've read about her. I'm looking right now at a picture of her. And I saw about 25 seconds of audio of her sitting in a car and crying to someone on her phone and saying that her country hates her. She did not go to the Capitol with any motive other than prayer on January 6th. Praying that what she knew was wrong would be made right. That there was a higher power. And if she could just travel from Colorado to Washington, D.C. and quiet her mind and ask for help, that God would be listening. Instead, what she got was arrested. And caught up in perhaps the biggest manufactured theatrical performance we've seen in our lifetime. After a lengthy deliberation that has been rare for capital breach cases, this is a story about this woman getting convicted yesterday for being as audacious and bold as John Eastman, Trump's attorney, who dared to feel uncomfortable about the 2020 election results and as a lawyer tried to present cases proving malfeasance. He gets stripped of his law license, disbarred, not allowed to do that. It's not America. After a lengthy deliberation that's been rare for capital breach cases, Falcon resident Rebecca Lavrins, known on social media as the J6 Praying Grandma, was convicted on all four federal misdemeanor charges for her participation in the January 6th protest of the 2020 presidential election results in Washington, D.C. This article comes to you from the Gazette. This is a Colorado newspaper. The trial began March 25th in federal district court in the District of Columbia and ended after nearly 26 hours of deliberation. A 12-member jury finding Lavrins guilty of entering and remaining in a restricted building, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds, disorderly conduct in a Capitol building and parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol. What a bunch of garbage. What a bunch of garbage. The 71-year-old great-grandmother, I'm going to describe her to you. She's darling. She's got a cute, almost bob, blonde hair. The picture I'm looking at, she's got a nice tan. She's got pearls in, some pink lipstick and a smile, and looks like she's happy. Damn her. A 71-year-old great-grandmother and owner of a bed and breakfast business where she lives about 14 miles northeast of Colorado Springs could be sentenced to up to a year in prison and ordered to pay fines of more than $200,000, which excludes her legal fees. She will be sentenced August 12th. I was surprised, she told the Gazette yesterday, after the verdict. I believe God wanted it to turn out this way so my voice could be amplified. We have to wake up our country. It's an interesting point, she posits. Does it take a 71-year-old great-grandmother who prayed in the Capitol, who walked into the open doors, the doors that were open to her, the barricades that were removed by Capitol Police, for people to come inside, the video that we've seen, though that's not been released, that shows Capitol Police officers literally escorting people inside? She walked in to pray. The whole reason I went to the Capitol was to pray, she says. I didn't get into this for myself. I was there to stand up for my country. God led me to go in there and into the building to stand up for my First Amendment rights, to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amen. When she was inside the Capitol for 10 minutes with a group of other rally-goers, Lavrins said she felt God's presence on me. Defense attorneys from John Pierce Law presented 7 witnesses, while 4 people testified on behalf of prosecutors from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia, who argued Lavrins entered the Capitol without having the authority to do so. Oh, no. She testified for 5 hours on Monday, and the jury started to, What do you say? Why did you go? Because I felt the election was stolen and it made me sick. Well, what were you planning on doing? I was going to see history be made, and I was hoping without a hope that something would happen and Crazy Train would stop. Well, what did you do? Well, I walked through the open doors. Capitol Police didn't stop anybody. I was there for about 10 minutes. I said a prayer and then I left. How could you? How could you? You selfish election denier. Right? I mean, it's total. What are we doing? We're desperate. It's panic time. This is the result of panic. They've got nothing except perpetuating the myth of insurrection, that under Donald Trump's eye, people like Catholics are going to be a threat to democracy. Really? 5 hours she testified. Deliberations resumed Tuesday, Wednesday, nearly all day Thursday. Mind you, she's got to travel from Colorado to D.C. and stay there, pay her own way, right? She owns a bed and breakfast. Lady ain't rich. They don't care. And the verdict announced late Thursday afternoon. Verdicts have been issued as soon as 30 minutes after jurors were released from the courtroom on some J6 cases. The deliberation, she said, was a good thing because obviously at least one person on the jury was fighting for me. And many people have been convicted in the first hour. First hour. Somebody at least was willing to be in there to fight for me. Is everything that I just said to you completely wrong? Of course. Yes. Are there people out on the streets who murder, who rape, who threaten people on the subway platforms, who beat up police officers, who deal drugs? Yeah. Yes. 71-year-old praying great-grandma. Better throw the book at her. This is Joe Biden's America by design. And it sucks. Quick timeout. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, I want to talk to you about this. The 89-year-old concentration camp survivor who faces 11 years herself. For what? Oh boy. Buckle up. It's next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. So here's this headline from the National Pulse. Remember us talking about the four pro-lifers praying outside of an abortion facility? Well, one of them is an 89-year-old concentration camp survivor who faces 11 years in jail for praying at an abortion clinic. Praying. She didn't fight anybody. She didn't throw anything. She didn't do anything. She was praying. Oh, Heavenly Father, right? Guilty! Go away to pray. 11 years, ladies and gentlemen. Elderly concentration camp survivor. There you go. I just wanted to drop that nugget for you. That exists out there. This is what the Department of Justice is doing. Now, before I get bogged down, I've got to play this for you. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on News Nation last night with Chris Cuomo. Or two nights ago, whenever it was. And this is fantastic because Chris Cuomo is talking to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as though he is a conspiracy theorist. And Chris Cuomo on high is going to wave his magic wand and tell RFK Jr., basically, you spread a bunch of lies. Really, why should anybody pay attention to you now? He is not prepared for the dismantling that ensued. And you got to love it. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, enjoy the evisceration.
A lot of the write-ups are playing to your biggest weakness, which is that you spout a lot of conspiracy think, whether it's deep state, whether it's 9/11, whether it's vaccines. You are painted with that brush. And I know you and the campaign think that this is water under the bridge. We've already addressed it. But I think that you should greatly rethink going there, because all those write-ups today called you a conspiracist.
Shut up.
And I think that there are a lot of people in this country that want another choice, but they're not going to vote for a conspiracist.
I was called a conspiracy theorist because I said that glyphosate, which is the active ingredient of Roundup, caused non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. People said that's a conspiracy theory. As it turned out, we won three jury trials in which they agreed with us, and Monsanto settled for $13 billion. I said at the beginning of the pandemic that vaccines were not going to prevent transmission. I said that because I was reading the science. I was reading the monkey studies that showed that they didn't prevent transmission in monkeys. So I knew they weren't going to do it in humans. I was called a conspiracy theorist, and now everybody admits that. I said that COVID lockdowns were going to be very, very harmful to children, particularly. They would damage our economy, and they would not prevent the spread of a respiratory virus. And I, the reason I said that, I was reading the science. I was reading pandemic protocols over the past 40 years. I was called a conspiracy theorist. I said the masks were not going to work to prevent the spread of the disease, and that they would probably do more harm than good. And now everybody agrees with that. I said the same thing about social distancing, that it wasn't science-based. And Tony Fauci has now acknowledged that's true. Tell me a theory that you think I got wrong. To show me facts. I'm not somebody, I don't say things unless I have a factual basis. But what the defense of the political establishment is that anybody who questions reigning political orthodoxies is discredited and marginalized and demonized by characterizing them as a conspiracy theorist. But I don't know any place where I have advocated a theory that is not factual based. Tell me what it is. I'm happy to answer it.
I don't know what happened on 9/11, but I do understand the government's reckoning of it, and I don't have any reason to not believe it. Is that what you're saying? Or are you saying that you don't know whether you believe what the government says happened on 9/11? This matters.
Well, I don't, listen, I've been around long enough that I question everything that the government tells me. And I think people who don't question what the government tells them are not paying attention.
Hey, Chris. See, you can dress up, you can put makeup on, you can sit there and pretend and say, you know what, I've changed my thoughts. I'm different now. I'm a new person. And I hope that you find rebirth, but I can see that you still suck. RFK Jr. came with facts. He did not need an overhead projector. He didn't need a cheat sheet. He didn't need aliases or pseudonyms. He didn't need a ghost phone. He didn't need a binder with color-coded tabs to tell him how to respond. It's burned into him. He's done the research. What have you done, Chris, besides blindly believe a corrupt government that you are deeply ensconced with? And you just told everybody that you suck. This is meaningful. These are triumphant moments. One, to see a turd blow up. But more importantly, to listen to people who've got the facts. And the fact is, Chris lost. All right, what do you get when you get Karl Rove and Ron Klain in 1.5 hour? You get a really panicky uniparty. Do not miss this audio. What? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, I don't know what it says when you've got Ron Klain and Karl Rove as a segment. What it says, I know, is that the Uniparty is freaking out. The establishment is literally freaking out. And it goes back to this poll, the polling from Rasmussen that shows Biden or Trump up by 8. It's the story out of Politico that shows 1 in 5 Hispanic voters in Arizona and Nevada peeling away from Joe Biden and going for RFK Jr. These things lining up, in addition to multiple wars, in addition to $34 trillion in debt, in addition to this whole out of control, rabid LGBTQ agenda, in addition to all of this crybaby nonsense over global warming, all of it in, you put it together and it's like, my goodness, you guys got nothing. So the only thing they have is to say that Trump is mean. His words are hateful. It's just like, it's so bad. I could just hear what he said. Right? I mean, we're like, shut up. Look at what you're doing to destroy our country. You're arresting great-grandmothers. You're taking 89-year-old Holocaust survivors who were praying outside an abortion facility and threatening them with 11 years because you got nothing else. So they got two tiers. Donald Trump is hateful and divisive, and his terrible rhetoric is so hurtful, and prescription drugs. That literally, that's all that you're going to hear about in this half hour. Now, you're going to hear about it in a couple different ways. We're going to start with former chief of staff, deputy chief of staff under George W. Bush, Karl Rove. Why Karl Rove is relevant now, he's not. He is a Beltway B-lister. They're bringing people out to try to create this storyline that doesn't work, okay? And this is specifically about Karl Rove's, I mean, he's clutching his pearls. He can't believe it. Donald Trump said he would pardon the J6er. Well, yeah, he did almost 2 years ago on this very program, ladies and gentlemen. Remember when Trump called in? And I said, sir, J6ers, what are you doing? What are you going to do with these people? I will pardon them. Pardon them. Karl Rove just can't believe it because in his world, the world where High School Musical January 6th, the theatrical presentation, these were people who were trying to overthrow the government. Oh my gosh, is so ridiculously debunked. We all know the truth, except Karl Rove, who is a uniparty hack. And I have proof of that here. Audio soundbite number one, he calls the January 6th defendants, the people, the hostages, he calls them sons of bees. Wow, kind of aggressive, Carl. But I want you to hear how desperate the rhetoric is. Audio soundbite one.
If they were smart, they'd take the January 6th and go hard at it. And they would say, he wants to pardon these people who attacked our Capitol. I worked in that building as a young man. To me, the Congress of the United States is one of the great examples of the strength of our democracy and a jewel of the Constitution.
What?
And what those people did when they violently attacked the Capitol in order to stop a constitutionally mandated meeting of the Congress to accept the results of the Electoral College is a stain on our history. And every one of those sons of who did that, we ought to find them, try them, and send them to jail.
You know what was weird about that, which is scary? We ought to find them. This is a guy who says he's a Republican. We ought to find them, and they ought to go to jail. Well, that's very democratic of him, isn't it? Then I want you to hear the propaganda talking points. All of the things that they say that these people did on January 6th. Oh my gosh. Which have been debunked. Which have been mercilessly eviscerated, sort of like Chris Cuomo, right? This is Karl Rove proving to you that the uniparty swamp is alive and well. Go.
And one of the critical mistakes made in this campaign is that Donald Trump has now said, I'm going to pardon those people because they're hostages. No, they're not. They're thugs. There were people, some of them had automatic weapons at a hotel in Virginia hoping to be able to be called up. We had people saying, where's Nancy Pelosi? We had people who were, you know, taking desks and sitting at the desk of the Speaker of the House and attempting to, you know, find people in order to bring them to justice and saying yelling at the police, kill them all.
He's deranged. He is deranged. He is sweating. He looks nervous. And he's doing a really bad job with the sell. Carl, it ain't looking good, brother. And then he's going to basically tell you it's all Trump's fault. This is how you know they are petrified and they have nothing. Go.
And so why Trump has done this is beyond me. If he had said, you know what? I trust our jury system. I trust law enforcement. Anybody who assaulted the Capitol ought to be... I mean, he said it once or twice, but now he's appearing in a video with people who assaulted police officers with an intent to take the Capitol by force.
Wow.
So, you know, look, I'm a Republican. I don't want to have a Democrat president. I want to have a Republican president. But we're facing, as a country, a decision, and everybody gets to make it, as to what kind of leadership we're going to have. And to me, it is a mistake on the part of the Trump campaign to allow the president's impulses to identify himself with the people who assaulted the Capitol rather than people who stand for law and order. Yeah.
Well, so there you go. There is the establishment viewpoint. They are scared to death of Donald Trump. I love that Karl Rove thinks Trump needs his advice. Pretty sure he doesn't. Pretty sure he doesn't. And there's no way that Trump is going to believe in the court system. Look what the court system's done to him, Carl. You squishy turd. Sweaty. right? You should trust the juries. Really? Do you think the 71-year-old great-grandma, who, by the way, you guys, John Guandolo was called to testify in that case, we're going to be talking to him in about 25 minutes. Don't miss that conversation. Why should anybody have any faith in the system? They've corrupted everything, friends. The highest echelons of our federal government, the presidency, they've co-opted. China controls that. The spy balloons were just in your face. We're watching you, suckas. Try us. And Karl Rove, desperate, sweating. Donald Trump's fault. Now, this is where things go from bad to ugly. All right? Former Biden chief of staff Ron Klain sitting down with Chris Hayes, who himself is a bloviating blowhard, talking about how Donald Trump, they have nothing. They've got to talk about Donald Trump and hateful rhetoric. Donald Trump called some people animals. Well, you know what? If you're a gang member and you beat somebody's head in, I'm going to go with you're an animal. If you come across this border and you rape little kids, you're an animal. If you come here with the intent to harm us, you're an animal. And if that hurts your feelings, suck it. How about that? That's how I feel, Ron. Now, Ron is much like Ron Klain. Or not Ron Klain. Ron is much like Karl Rove. Ron has nothing. Ron looks afraid. Ron's been given some talking points. He's going to do a very poor job of delivering them. And Chris Hayes, who's in on the scam, is going to try to nudge him along the way when he fails to deliver the line. Okay, so this is the question to Ron Klain. What is, of course, former Biden chief of staff. He was there for a hot second. What is the case for Joe Biden's reelection? Listen.
The president's done a good job. He's running on his record, and he also has an agenda to make the country a better place. Hmm. And calling migrants who come to this country and work hard and pay taxes and you know, do so many important jobs in our country, calling them animals, is just disgraceful. And so I think the president thinks he's going to confront Donald Trump on his disgraceful conduct.
So wait a minute. Joe Biden has nothing to run on. And so in 20 seconds after being asked, what is he going to run on? What's his strength? What do you think is going to be his secret sauce? He's not Trump. That's what he just said. Hateful rhetoric from Donald Trump. That means we've got nothing. Audio soundbite number two. Now, Ron Klain is going to say, look, Joe Biden wants to finish the job. Can you imagine if he finishes the job? But this is where he goes into a Karl Rove-ish bumble fest of talking points propaganda that they're desperate in the wrap-up smear kind of phase for you to believe. Listen to this.
Still a big agenda left to be done. Working together, President Biden with Senator Sanders got a bill passed that allows Medicare to negotiate the price of prescription drugs that will save the government and save our senior citizens a lot of money on prescription drugs. Now the president wants that to be true for everyone in our country and for people under 65 to have that same benefit, bring down the cost of their prescription drugs. That's a real result that matters to people's lives. Prices are too high. People need more money in their pockets. And so I think both confronting President Trump on his outrageous conduct and chaos,
bing, bing, bing,
and having an agenda for what he wants to do in another 4 years, I think that is the key thing for getting President Biden reelected.
That's wild to me. Prescription drugs and Trump's hateful rhetoric. That is the policy. Prescription drugs for some seniors, right? Everything else is bananas, outrageously expensive. We're going to bring down your prescription drug prices, you know, 20%. That's great. That's all they've got. And Donald Trump is mean. Did you hear it? It's ridiculous and it's very poorly delivered. So here's the question. Why isn't Joe Biden, if his policies are so great, I mean, this is such a great Bidenomics, middle out, bottom up, successful. I mean, the guy is the best, says Chris Hayes. Why isn't he seeing a bump in the ratings, do you think, Ron Klain? Go.
People live their lives and they want to know how it affects them and their kitchen table and their family budget. And prices, although inflation is moderated, prices are still high. Price of gasoline is still high. Other prices are still high and people feel that pinch. And though wages have gone up and the statistics say wages have gone up faster than prices, people still feel pinched in their pocketbooks. And so I think, you know, the president needs to make more progress on that. I think that was part of the thing he was talking about today about prescription drugs, which is a key pain point for many families. And he's going to continue to fight to bring down prices on key things that matter to families. And he's going to have to make more progress.
Prescription drugs. It's all there is. Things cost money. Everything costs money. Things are expensive and people know it's expensive, but we've lowered prescription drug prices. So make sure you reelect us. Are you guys sold on that? Are you hearing what I'm hearing? We're bringing down some costs of drugs. That's all. Nothing else. Not gas. Gas is going up. It's about to eclipse where it was last year. Watch out. You know, they tried to fill the SPR. Can't fill it up because gas prices are too high. There's no way. There's no more to dip into. There's no way to hedge that. But we're bringing down prescription drug costs. This is where things get interesting. And when we come back after the short break, I want to introduce a little Chris Hayes. He's going to try desperately to get Ron Klain to say some stuff, okay? You need to hear this. It's very, very illustrative of their fear. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So when you have nothing to run on and your main people really are having a hard time selling this, you bring out your B-listers, your Beltway B-listers, the Karl Roves of the establishment, the Ron Klains, the former chief of staff Ron Klains, and you put them on places like with Chris Hayes on MSNBC. Chris, who is hook, line, and sinker, a Democrat operative. He's not a journalist. The guy is, he's like Chris Cuomo. He's got his mind made up, and it ain't changing anytime soon, right? And he's going to say to Ron Klain, he's going to say, you know, people are suffering. Shouldn't we just instead be talking about Donald Trump? Listen to this.
People want to see that their own personal pocketbook is better off. And that's what the president's delivering. And Trump out there spreading hate and division. That's not going to make anyone better off. And so I think it's a clear choice on the question of democracy, on the question of unifying the country, and on the question of what's going to make people better off in their daily lives.
Unifying the country. Right? Where we need to bring people together by arresting a 71-year-old great-grandma for praying in the Capitol. But really, we're the peace and love and equity and inclusion group. We are so great. You know, we need to bring prices down. But let's talk about Trump. Enough about Joe Biden and his suckworthiness. Let's talk about Donald Trump. He's hateful. It's beating the pinata. The Tootsie Rolls are gone. So now here Chris Hayes coming in, flapping his arms. Look, Ron, you're not slamming Donald Trump enough. Let me help tee you up a little bit so we could continue talking about what we love most. And that's the guy who hasn't been in charge for 3.5 years. Oh, that's right. Donald Trump. Go.
I've had the contention for a while, and it's something I said on the show and other venues that Trump receding from constant public view has helped him a bit. That it's almost impossible to keep in mind just how aberrant and weird and repellent often his behavior and rhetoric is, and that him sort of taking center stage again would remind people of that kind of.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you share that view as well.
I'm not even going to play the vacuous, kind of KJP-ish answer that Ron Klain gives. But think about Chris Hayes here. Aberrant, weird, and repellent. There's nothing that I have found weird about Donald Trump. Trump says what he says. He puts out on Truth Social specific things for a reason. And he sprinkles these little truth breadcrumbs along the way for people to pick up and dig into. He sprinkled stuff about Juan Merchan, the judge, in his hush money case, which is idiotic. He sprinkled information about the judge's daughter, about the judge's wife, about conflicts of interest. There's nothing weird or aberrant about that. That's not some sideways thinker. It's purposeful. And it works. And that is what Chris Hayes wants to fixate on. I've got a second Chris Hayes soundbite for you, and it's brief. Again, in the event that you missed it, pay attention to all they care about. Trump says mean things. He says mean things about people who we should be loving and supporting. It's all these millions of strangers who've come across our border. These are good people. These are productive people. They're good for our bottom line. This is a bonus for America. Yes, some of them are gangbangers. Yes, some of them are pedophiles, human traffickers. Yes, some of them are into organ harvesting. But listen, go.
But do you think the argument, the dehumanizing language, is being met sufficiently rhetorically by the president and other Democrats to make the affirmative case for why immigration overall is actually a net boon for this country?
Did you get that? Did you get that? Stop talking about anything else. Let's focus on Donald Trump. We're going to twist anything around that we can to spin it our way. And if we've got Ron Klain, man, have we hit the bottom of the barrel. The numbers are going to get worse. They will try anything, anything to stop the blood flow, to stop it from flowing. If that means dredging up some flu, some bird flu, and creating some story, which is idiotic because it twists itself in circles, right? It could be 100 times worse than COVID. It might be nothing, but it could kill you and everyone on your block. Now, that's a lot of leeway. That's a lot of leeway. They're putting the cards on the table. And depending on where all of these polls go, if Rasmussen and Gallup and all of these other polls come in and they start to get in line, and they show that it's not within the margin of errors, margin of error. In fact, it's well outside the margin of error. And it shows that blacks and Hispanics and young people are leaving the party that has taken away their American dream. Then you can crank up your Bunsen burner, heat up the beaker, put in your bird flu cocktail until it's at a full boil. They need to have those steps. Because remember, the left works backwards. The goal? Ruination of Donald Trump. 100%. At any cost. No matter what. Make crap up. Get people on board who are corrupt. Pay them. Whatever you need. Get George Soros involved. Fund their campaigns. Pay off a judge. Whatever you've got to do. Manipulate the witnesses. Done. As long as you can destroy Donald Trump and keep Joe Biden and all of the people in his lair out of prison. Has nothing to do with you. Has nothing to do with our country. Has nothing to do with freedom. Has nothing to do with democracy. None of the buzzwords they love to say. It is about protecting their butts, keeping you from knowing how disgustingly filthy they are. And if they can, at the same time, ruin Donald Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a good day. That is the plan. So John Guandolo, our national security expert, actually got called to testify in the case of that 71-year-old Colorado Springs grandmother who got caught praying inside the Capitol. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.